Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Well, we have a rarity here this afternoon. Sue's News will be done with Sue. It's very unusual, but it's going to happen, I'm told. We have it confirmed. Before I get to that, a couple of things here. This is really a bummer. I shared this with Fred earlier. Sue, I think you'll be able to relate. Abby, I don't know if you've been there, but Faux Grand is closing down.
Oh, no!
I know. That was my reaction.
It's my all-time favorite restaurant. It really is.
Fred, I would not have guessed that about you.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
You know, it's funny because I think, did I know that when, years ago, I got Fred a gift certificate, but I wasn't sure, did I stumble into that or did I know it? Because I think we realized we had common ground.
You might have known it.
Because Becky discovered it, and we've been there so many times. 30 years on South Grand, Vietnamese restaurant, holding its last dinner service on Monday, June 13th.
Why? Do they say why? I'm sure it's money. We can't.
Well,
no.
No? They're just retiring?
They basically said that they feel like they achieved what they set out to do with Faux Grand. Oh. Here is Tammy Trin, who says, our goal when we first opened the restaurant was to have a job and get our kids through school. Now it's come full circle. They both graduated from school, so my job as a parent is done. Yeah, but your job feeding Sue and Fred and I
Thank
is
you.
Not done.
Oh. I'm wondering how much I can buy in advance and just hold on to it.
Well, I'm definitely,
you know,
we should try to go before it wraps up.
Yes.
And the great irony is I've told Becky recently, I'm like, we got to order Faux Grand. I can just zip by on my way home and, you know, do
the
some
spring
carry
rolls
out.
Are the best.
Oh, I love this.
A lot of
rolls.
Times, I think it's her husband is Mai, and we would just sometimes go in. My wife's difficult this way when it comes to menus. She doesn't like to order from menus. She likes to make it difficult on the chef.
Oh,
but she would tell Mai, just here's what I'm looking for. And he would like create something basically off
okay,
the menu.
Okay, first of all, that's very nice
yeah.
of him. I mean, and then of course it's fantastic because it's Faux Grand. Oh, I'm so upset
well,
by this.
Well, you have a couple of weeks, but we've had a lot of good restaurants that, you know, unfortunately have come to a close. So one of the stories last week that I didn't cover very much because I was only here on Thursday, but I did talk about it, was this guy who landed the plane in Florida. You were down in Florida.
Yeah.
Did you hear about this?
I heard about nothing.
So Darren Harrison is this guy, 39 years old. He's flying on a single-engine Cessna plane from the Bahamas, and his pilot passes out.
So,
yeah, Darren Harrison has no flying experience. He's on the plane. Here's what the call to air traffic control, and we have a great follow-up this afternoon, but here's the air traffic control conversation.
I've got a serious situation here. My pilot has gone incoherent. I have no idea how to fly the airplane.
Roger, what's your position?
So basically he says my pilot has gone, it's a little hard to hear, has gone
incoherent.
I have no idea how to fly the airplane. Now, we played a little of this audio last week, and I was kind of shocked at how calm he is, right? You can
yes.
hear him here. He's very calm.
I have no idea. I see the coast of Florida in front of me, and I have no idea.
What was the situation with the pilot?
He is incoherent. He is out.
Try to hold the wings level and see if you can start descending for me. Push forward on the controls and descend at a very slow rate.
Yeah, I'm descending right now at 550 feet a minute, passing 8640.
Okay, yeah, no, okay, I don't think
wow.
so.
Wow.
But he got the plane down. Now, he was on the Today Show and with Savannah Guthrie talking about it today. Yeah.
All I saw when I came up to the front was water out the right window, and I knew it was coming quick. It kind of put my arm over to where my elbow was sitting here, and I grabbed the controls of the airplane and slowly started to pull back on the stick and turn.
How did you know how to do that?
Just
movies,
common sense, I guess, being on airplanes, because I knew if I went up and yanked that the airplane would stall. And I also knew at the rate we were going, we were probably going way too fast, and it would rip the wings off the airplane.
Okay, so he brings it in relatively calmly.
Everyone's been amazed at how calm you were. Did you feel calm?
I did. Somebody asked me the other day what my heart rate was, or what I thought my heart rate was when all that was going on, and I said, it was probably in the 90s. And they said, well, what about after it was all over? I said, it was probably about 160.
Yeah.
About the time I stopped the plane, that's when it hit me. Yeah, I was pretty calm and collected the whole time because I knew it was a life or death situation. Either
exactly,
you do what you have to do to control the situation or you're going to die. And that's what I did.
There's no time to panic.
No, none.
I hope to be not confronted with those decisions, but I can understand what he was saying.
What was interesting was that the air traffic control said they stopped getting an answer from him for a while, and they got really nervous.
Oh,
and then
his
next response was, okay, I'm on the ground. What do I need to do now? And
wow.
Like, nothing. You did it.
Wow.
That is... Now, Fred, I didn't hear anything in that story. You guys handed this audio to me a little late.
About the pilot?
Yeah, do we know what happened to the pilot?
The pilot is still hospitalized, but they expect him to get out shortly.
Okay. What happened to him? Do we know?
I don't know. I don't think I heard that. I just know that he said that he's still hospitalized. And he'll be released soon.
How about Robert Morgan, by the way? He's the guy that you heard on there, the air traffic. He deserves a little credit, too.
Luckily, he was an air traffic controller, but he was an air
flight instructor.
Oh, are you kidding
no.
me?
No.
Oh, that's an act of God.
I would say so.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Did you ever see the movie Fool's Gold with Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah.
That's where, you know, when they, at the end, it's not a great film, but I watch it every time it's on television.
I thought it was better than most people thought.
Thank you.
It was a decent movie.
It's not great. But that's where when he has to take control of the plane at the end, I mean, there are enough movies telling you not to jerk the thing. That we should all be able to at least land.
I'm not going to touch
come
that
on,
one right there.
Come
I'm just
going
to move on here this afternoon. This is a family program. But I agree with you, Sue.
Yeah. It's the movies. They're saving us all. By the way, my vacation was good. Thank you all for covering.
Sue, your pictures were breathtaking.
Oh, thanks, Fred.
Don't send them to me again when I'm at work.
I was very jealous.
It was beautiful weather. I got to see a manatee, some dolphins. And that's really...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All I need out of life, that and a beach. And we went to a place where Tucker Carlson has been seen before at the Gasparilla Inn, but he was not there then, which I was happy about because I had beach hair.
And what did you have for breakfast?
Lobster scrambled eggs.
Ooh. That sounds delicious.
You are so
that's pretty fancy. You probably had that at the Tucker Carlson place,
right? Yeah, I
did.
But it's breakfast. That way you don't spend as much as if you go to dinner. Can you imagine if I got something fancy at dinner? Good grief. Okay, 156 years ago, Congress authorized minting the nickel 5-cent piece to replace the smaller silver piece known as the half dime. Did you know we ever had the half dime?
I never knew we had the half
dime. I never did either. So that was 156 years ago on this day that they brought forth the nickel otherwise to replace the half dime.
Wait, how could we not know that it was a half dime? That doesn't seem
right. I read this morning. Every time I read one of these and I've never heard of it, I think, well, I'm doing that because is it just me? Is it me? No, you've never heard of it either. And on this date in history, 56 years ago, the Beach Boys released their masterpiece album, Pet Sounds. Wouldn't it be nice?
Great stuff.
I tell you what, I love this album so much, I can't even stand it. This song and God Only Knows. And if you really want to feel old, older than that, I've already made Fred feel old. Let me tell you that it was this day, 36 years ago, in 1986, that Top Gun was released. 36 years ago. Of course, the new one coming out soon.
Coming out in a couple weeks, right?
Yeah. 36 years ago.
You know, there was I have to do some searching around on this, but there was a great Pet Sounds documentary.
Ooh, I think I've seen that, Mark.
Years ago. Yeah,
or at least started it.
Right, right. Really good. I mean, you can see Brian Wilson's a strange dude.
Yes, he is, but talented.
You go through the process of what he, you know, and he had, what the hell is the name of all the collaborators from the 1960s? There's a great documentary about that,
oh,
too.
The sound, I know who you're talking about. Come on, who is it, Fred?
I don't know.
There was a documentary on them, too.
Yeah, and that's why I'm
Alabama is Shoals, Muscle Shoals.
Muscle Shoals is something different.
Okay, I don't remember.
I'm going to come up
all
with
all right,
it
you keep there's looking.
There's people that are yelling at the radio right
yes,
now.
Yes, there
I
are.
I think of the name of this. This is COVID brain right now. That's what I'm going to say.
There's going to be an animated Married with Children TV series. Were we waiting for it, Fred?
No.
Yeah,
Wrecking
I think
Crew.
So.
Gosh darn it, the Wrecking Crew. And the Wrecking Crew documentary is outstanding, and I do think that there is another Pet Sounds. I'd have to look for that, but I do think there's a Pet Sounds.
Wait, I'm writing down Wrecking Crew.
But the Wrecking Crew is a great documentary.
Okay, I might have to. Abby, did you ever watch Married with Children? Do you even know what it is?
I've never seen it. So, yeah,
you can't
zero confidence,
say.
I can't say.
Mark,
have you heard
did
of
you
Beach
watch
Boys?
It?
Oh, yeah, I
yes.
watched
yes.
it.
Okay. I
know the Beach Boys.
Okay. Well, as we know.
Al Bundy.
Yes.
How can you not like Al Bundy?
Here is the thing. Think about this, Abby. Ed O'Neill was Al Bundy. He's the guy from Modern Family.
Modern
Does
Family.
That help
we,
you?
We used to say he's the guy from that
yeah,
show, right?
Which guy from Modern Family?
The father.
The father with the French bulldog who's married to, what's her name?
Sophia.
I'm really helpful, yeah. aren't I? Not?
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
All right, I got it.
Whew. This is what the thing is. All of the original cast would be back. Ed O'Neill, Katie Sagal, Christina Applegate, and even Bud are all on board to do it. There's no word on
Nobody
when it would air.
Bud's name, but he'll be back too.
It's David Faustino.
Oh, there it is. Yes. That's right. I do remember that.
That series aired for 10 years, 1987 to 97. It can be found on Hulu if you really want to see it. So we'll see what happens. By the way, Nielsen says we have watched over 4 trillion minutes worth of television between September 20th of last year and May 8th. That's crazy. Broadcasters and streamers analyzed were CBS, NBC, ABC, Fox, Netflix, Hulu, the big ones. This doesn't even take into consideration HBO Max. Like nothing like that. What do you think was the number one, how many minutes we have watched, service, streaming and or television? Fred.
Netflix.
You are correct.
Yeah,
1.33 trillion minutes. Number two, Reardon, can you guess?
Well, I guess I'd say Amazon.
No, CBS.
Oh, really?
Yes. And the big difference is Netflix, 1.33 trillion minutes, CBS, a second, but it's all the way down to 752.8 billion. I mean, there's a huge difference.
By the
way,
there was some encouraging news from Netflix, because remember we went through all this stuff with The Closer and Dave Chappelle and protests and
yes.
all these things, and Netflix was pretty good about that. They've just added an artistic expression policy to their company culture memo.
What does that mean?
Well, it's actually encouraging. It says, not everyone will like or agree with everything on our service. While every title is different, we approach them based on the same set of principles. We support the artistic expression of the creators we choose to work with. We program for a diversity of audiences and tastes. We let viewers decide what's appropriate for them versus having Netflix censor specific artists or voices. As employees, we support the principle that Netflix offers a diversity of stories, even if we find some titles counter to our own personal values. Depending on your role, you may need to work on titles you perceive to be harmful. If you'd find it hard to support our content breadth, Netflix.
Thank you, crowd. Wow, I agree.
This is good, though. It says Netflix might not be the best place for you.
Yeah,
you
know, it go
I like
away.
That.
Who's
yes,
the
I
comedian that's on Fox a lot? I can't think of it. I've got a brain freeze right now. You've got
the
a piece of sound
that's
from
on
him.
Fox.
On, he's on Fox
oh,
News.
Oh, Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, Jimmy Fallon. He had some good things to say about that. I don't know if you have time. I can
I
sum it up. Okay.
Let's see here.
They know there is a massive sea change underway right now, and that society has overwhelmingly rejected woke, pandering content. They don't want it. If you notice, nobody applauded Disney when they tried to make the kids watch Peter Pan sexual. And nobody's coming around now for any of the Netflix grievance programming. Look at the subscriber drop. Number one. Number two, they also know it's just impossible to run a company this way.
Yeah.
You know, when you're totally, you know, beholden to the grievance movement within your company, which is always a tyranny of the minority, and they realize that they're spending a lot more time addressing internal political grievance than they are focusing on content.
Yeah, that's a problem. But I like the fact that they're issuing a statement like that because I get concerned. And I do think that there's pushback and people are going to say, look, we're sick of this. And I think Netflix has reflected that with their numbers in that statement.
And a lot of these shows are on demand, so you have to demand it to hear it.
That's true. So the most watched things, Netflix number one, CBS number two, NBC, ABC, Fox, Disney Plus, Amazon Prime, Hulu, and Apple TV is the last one.
I don't think Disney Plus would have been higher.
Nope.
My question is, how are they determining
by
that?
Minutes? They can record
right,
how
but,
many minutes you
okay,
watch.
But you say CBS is the number mm-hmm. two, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning what? That people are going on to the CBS
and watching
app?
That many. Well, it's streamers and broadcast.
Right, but I mean,
so
that,
it's
that
Nielsen.
Just means
Nielsen can keep track of how many minutes you watch. So they combine that with the streaming.
Okay,
and come
let me get specific with the question. The question okay. that means that includes things that are in our DVR.
Right.
Okay. That's not the way I look at streaming. You know what I mean? Streaming
yeah,
for
me. Yeah,
but
that's broadcast, but they threw that in as well. But it's streaming and broadcast.
Right. Let's take broadcast out of it. I don't like that.
This is just viewing minutes. But you can't take it out. That's what was involved in it.
But I don't like it. Let's take
okay.
it out.
Okay. Let me get on to
like
those.
The results.
Tell them. I'm sorry. Mark Reardon
does
not like the results.
Because I think that your question, it sounded like the question is Fred says Netflix because I think most of us think Netflix. And I said Amazon because I was thinking streaming, not all this other nonsense.
Nope.
I just don't like the way they did it, Sue, basically.
Okay, fine.
And you've missed me this last week.
Well, of course. That's true. That is true.
Sue, do I need to defend you?
Please do, Fred. Okay. I'll let you know. And finally, do you want me to wrap her up?
You can do whatever you want.
I got one more.
You've been gone for a week. I've been gone. I don't really
appreciate
care
it.
Anymore.
All right, good. there have been a series of damaged property complaints around Omaha, Nebraska recently. Mostly damaged fences and walls. Apparently, kids are mimicking the Kool-Aid Man. And throwing themselves through structures on people's property.
Oh, yeah.
How did they know about the Kool-Aid Man?
We had commercials.
Abby said she knew. Oh, that kills me.
I saw Kool-Aid Man bursting through walls
you did.
As a kid. Yeah.
Okay, all right, good
for
enough.
Sure.
There's even Ring camera footage of a few teens bursting through a fence. Last week, sheriff's deputies were issuing criminal mischief citations to 9 kids who say they ran and jumped into fences in various neighborhoods around the county. It's the new thing. Fred, you could be a Kool-Aid Man around your neighborhood and see what happens. And finally,
it's the new viral Kool-Aid challenge.
Is Fred wearing pants and a giant nope, just a giant Kool-Aid head. And today's random fact. Adult cats only meow at humans. Not other cats. Now, kittens meow to their mother, but once they get a little older, they no longer meow to other cats. True or false? That they say true.
That. It's true.
Oh,
yes?
Come on, Abby.
See, Abby, come on. She's
what's,
the cat
what's
person
considered
in this room.
An adult cat then?
And
I ask this as someone who has 3 adult cats, but 2 of them are probably only 15, 16 months, and they seem to meow at other things other than humans.
My cat's around the same age, and he only meows at us people.
I'm going to challenge that.
There
I'm challenging
we go.
That. I'm
go
challenging.
Andy,
I don't like
he
the Netflix
is an only
thing.
Pet.
I don't like that. I'm going to take issue with the Kool-Aid thing eventually. I don't like any of it.
Okay.
Just telling you that. Welcome back, Sue.
Thanks a million.
Mike Cusimano coming up. We always visit with him on Mondays and Fridays. We'll talk about Albert's pitching debut and the Blues next round in the playoffs, which they revealed the schedule. They play tomorrow night in Denver against the Avalanche. We're going to talk about inflation here. That's on everyone's mind. Former CEO of CKE Restaurants, Andy Puzder, is back with us this afternoon. He is, of course, the chairman currently of the Second Vote Value Investments Group and a senior fellow at the American First Policy Institute. Andy, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. I had a friend of mine. Now, mind you, this is a friend of means, and he could absorb these things, but has a big old truck, and it was $148 and change to fill up that tank this morning. So, and I mentioned this a couple of times. You know, I was traveling to the Kentucky Derby a week and a half ago when I was in Princeton, Indiana. I stayed at a little hotel there, and I'm looking around, and this was on the week of the leak. You know, the leak was the week before. Everybody's talking about Roe v. Wade. And I'm seeing all these people in this little town fill up their trucks thinking they're barely able to do that for under $100. And I don't know how much people are going to remember this when it comes election time, because this is what's being remembered every single day. You can't go anywhere without feeling the sting.
I have a Ford Raptor pickup. I filled it up and it cost me $160. I used to fill it up under Trump and it was under $100.
By the way, that's the truck that my friend has. He has a Raptor as well. So again, truck and everything, but still, boy, that's pretty pricey when it comes to filling up the truck. And again, people of means can absorb that, but if you're living paycheck to paycheck, if you got to feed the family and all of a sudden it's a couple hundred bucks more in the gas tank every month, that money has to come from somewhere.
And it will continue to stay up as long as the government under the Biden administration keeps canceling leases to drill on land, keeps failing to grant permits for drilling, even where they do grant leases, discourages businesses or banks from lending to businesses that are in the fossil fuel sector, and fails to build the transportation necessary to get oil from one place to another to keep the price down. This is all avoidable. This is all policy. Nobody can claim this was unintentional. I think in the debates, Joe Biden was very clear: no drilling. We're going to stop drilling. They've acted very consistent with that. So nobody can claim this this wasn't part of the plan. This is part of the plan. And if people are upset about this, if you're mad when you go to the gas pump and you're spending money you'd rather spend on something else, then come this November and November in 2024, you'll have some way to respond.
Because there would be no indication or hope that he's going to turn in the other direction when it comes to energy, right? That there's no willingness to do that on the part of most people in his party. So I don't see why he would. So then we're stuck here with the energy situation.
I don't think he can change his mind on anything. I think he's being controlled by the far left wing of his party. I think the squad with AOC and her crew would come after him with daggers if he tried to do anything that wasn't part of the progressive collectivist agenda that they're all pursuing. So I know he can't change his policy on energy. The only thing that only people that can change that policy are the American people through their vote.
So you quote in your more recent article our good friend Elizabeth Warren, Democrat Massachusetts, saying Democrats are going to lose in the midterm elections if they don't help bring down prices for families. I think we would maybe all agree on that right now. But I guess that goes back to the previous point about energy prices. Is there a point where the pain is so much that this administration has to think about doing things differently, or is it pretty much, you know, locked in at this point?
Well, agreeing with Senator Obvious here for one of the very few times I can agree with her, they do need to do something. But look, he cannot politically do what he needs to do to get American oil production up, because it goes against all of these tenets of the Green New Deal, all of these tenets of Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum, we're rapidly heading towards ultimate destruction from all the carbon we're pouring into the atmosphere, even though they, over the past 20 or 30 years, they've been predicting everything from there would be no snow to the oceans would already have covered Florida in water, if you listen to any of their predictions. But as long as that's out there, there's really nothing he can do. In fact, it's so ridiculous that he can't even promote natural gas. Natural gas has cut our carbon emissions significantly, more than probably any other country, any other industrialized country. And our natural gas burns 41% cleaner than Russia's natural gas, but many places are stuck burning Russia's natural gas because we won't produce any. And he can't support nuclear energy because the left, for some reason, hates that as well. Apparently, we could keep our economy going if, even if we got rid of carbon emissions, if we would adopt nuclear on a more broad-based scenario. And so, look, he just can't do it. He can't do it. This is, we've got the wrong guy as president at exactly the wrong time. I think you can make a good argument that the war in Iraq, the war in the Ukraine would never have started if it weren't for the fact that oil prices were high enough that Russia could afford to fund this this endeavor. And one of the reasons that oil prices are so high are Biden administration policies. So this has ramifications across the board, and it's going to last for a long time.
So what's your opinion now? Obviously, the Fed's kicking in some rate increases. These are going to have an effect, but what kind of an effect are they going to have overall?
Well, there's two things you can do to bring down inflation. One is you can reduce demand, and the other is you can increase supply. When you reduce demand, you do so by increasing interest rates, among other things. And when you do that, it hurts the people that are creating the demand, which are working and middle-class Americans who are out there trying to buy goods. So when you raise interest rates, as Powell is doing with the Fed now, you're going to hurt working and middle-class Americans. What you could do that wouldn't be painful at all is increase supply. Well, how do you do that? Well, they have a whole section of economics on that called supply-side economics. You cut taxes, you reduce regulations, you focus on domestic energy production, and guess what? Supply increases, eventually it meets demand, and then you really have meaningless interest rate increases, inflationary increases, as we did during the Trump era.
Isn't this, or doesn't, I guess the question would be, have the potential of ping-ponging just a little bit? I mean, if we're, you know, continuing down in to recession territory, so second quarter comes in, GDP is flat or down, which I think the expectations are there, and we still have the rate increases. You get toward the end of the year and the beginning of next year, aren't they going to be talking about raising or lowering rates again because they're concerned about the economy?
Well, I'll tell you, you had 8.5% interest rate increases in March and April, and first quarter of this year, we had negative 1.4% negative GDP growth. So we're already kind of seeing something close to stagflation, which is where you have a stagnant economy, but nonetheless, you have inflation because inflation can feed on itself. And then you end up in a very difficult situation, such as the one that Ronald Reagan inherited back in the early 1980s, where you've got to bring interest rates down, and you can only do it by causing significant pain. That's the only way I can describe it. The pain back then was significant. My first house that I bought in St. Louis, I got at 13% interest. A year later, the bank wanted to buy the loan back because interest rates were at 17%. I mean, things were very, very difficult. Not everybody remembers that. But Reagan did the other. He also played the other part of this game, which was he emphasized supply side economics. So while he was dragging interest rates down, he was also trying to build the economy up. We're going to need a president who can do both of those things if this continues for much longer, because that's the only way we're ever going to rescue the economy. And it scares me to death that this guy's got another 2+ years left before he leaves office.
Would you have ever expected? Here's something that caught, I think, a lot of people off guard, and you've been looking at economics and covering these things for a long time, that we have a baby formula shortage, Andy Puzder, is quite stunning, isn't it?
Here we're talking about, World War III, like it's a real possibility. Worldwide famine, like it's a real possibility. We have no southern border, and now moms can't even get baby formula at the grocery store. Maybe we should have a president who stands up and says, you know what? Europe has great baby formula. Their standards are stricter than ours. We have import restrictions. They're gone. Bring the baby formula over. Let's do it today. The babies need formula. Bring it over. But we don't have a president like that. We got one who mumbles, mispronounces things, gets lost in the middle of a sentence, and does nothing. So we need somebody who can act, and he's not the guy.
Oh, come on. You're overlooking the quality of the vice president, Andy, I think is what you're doing there. Hey, you point out something, and I know that we're going to
She did point out that Russia was a very big country. I thought that was very edifying.
That was helpful.
I hadn't realized it was a big country.
One of the other things you point out in the more recent piece that was on FoxNews.com is and I think we're going to find out more of this, all these little things that were tucked into the COVID relief plans that had nothing to do with COVID relief, right?
Yeah, like pickleball courts. The pickleball court industry is thriving. They're building hotels with ocean views. It's ridiculous the amount of money that's being spent on on things that had absolutely nothing to do with COVID at a time when Americans are having a hard time buying ground beef and chicken, let alone gas, and now can't get baby formula. We're spending, the government is spending money on things that have absolutely nothing to do with trying to meet the needs of the American people. And it's embarrassing. That bill was passed, that the $1.9 trillion bill last March was passed for one reason. They were afraid Trump was going to get credit for all of the government largesse during the pandemic, and they wanted to be able to say, look, we got you some money, too. Well, they did. Larry Summers warned that it could lead to very, very intense, significant inflation. He was a Clinton and Obama economist. He told them this was going to happen, and among other people, and it did happen.
Yeah, and I think that it will continue to be exposed in the future. Now, I don't know if there's a positive to that outside of maybe people being more aware of all this waste that's going on, because it has to resonate at some point, I would hope.
I think people realize we just can't keep printing money and pretend it's going to stay real. I mean, this was what they called modern monetary theory. I don't know if you remember that just a few months ago, like just before all this inflation kicked in, that we could print money and print money. The government would keep doing that. This was AOC. You know, you keep printing money, everybody will be fine. Salaries will go up. There'll be jobs. Well, you know, there was that you have to pay the piper. And the piper in this case is very significant inflation, which is leading to a lack of economic growth and pain across the board for Americans.
Andy Puzder, always great to have you on, and appreciate your insight on inflation and beyond this afternoon. We'll talk soon.
All right, Mark. Pleasure to be here. Thanks.
442 97.1 FM Talk. Let's take a break. We'll get you into traffic here, and then Mr. Frank Cusimano on this Monday afternoon right here on 97.1 FM Talk. The Cardinals were supposed to play in New York tonight. That game has been postponed, which is good news because it gives Albert some time, Frank Cusimano, to rest up that arm for future appearances, right, this week. How are you this afternoon, Frank?
Good to be with you, Mark. Hope you're well. What's going on, young man?
What did you think about all that last night? That caught me off guard because I kind of tuned out of the game. I think a lot of us did because it was such a blowout. And I remember hearing a reference to the Giants putting in a position player. And then Albert just kind of talks himself into an appearance on the mound with Yachty?
Well, not with Yachty, but because Yachty was out of the game. But he went to the skipper, and, you know, who cares if Albert's right arm is not real strong in a couple of months. It's not like it's going to be of any use to the Cardinals. And look, it made a very uneventful 15-6 game absolutely compelling and fun to watch till the very end, and made SportsCenter and made every other national broadcast and national headline Albert Pujols pitches. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. The story, though, of this team right now has really been inconsistent offense, hasn't it?
It is, and the statistics are a little bit deceiving because they have these aberration games where they explode for 10 or last night 15.
Right.
And then you look at the numbers and they're like 10th in runs. Wow, that's pretty good offense. Actually, you know, it hasn't been, and it's wildly inconsistent. You can count on Edmund, Arenado, and Goldschmidt. And, you know, who knows? Maybe Yepes is going to be around for a long time. But you're really concerned about Tyler O'Neill. The shortstop position has been addressed, but still, you know, you're not getting anything over 205 there. It's going to have to improve. Now, Yachty's improving. Yachty has shocked me that he's come back and played this well and hit this well. I thought this could be a tough season for him, but, man, I guess we should never, ever doubt Yadier or Molina in St. Louis.
I guess you can argue that an off day tonight, given the travel and everything, probably not a bad thing for these Cardinals.
Oh, that's the best thing in the world. And I'm sure our old friend John Rooney was excited to hear about that, so he can rest a little bit. I know he doesn't like those Sunday night games. And imagine they got in so late last night. And the players, after, you know, a really fine weekend against the Giants, I'm sure welcome the day of rest and relaxation in New York. But it's going to be busy tomorrow. They're going to play 18 innings of baseball beginning at 2 o'clock Central Time.
All right, but the game tomorrow that we're going to focus in on is going to take place in Denver. The Blues and the Avalanche, the second round, another best-of-seven series. Give us a preview, Frank.
Well, there's a reason the Colorado Avalanche was the first team to 60 points, 70 points, 80 points, and finished with a franchise best 119 points. I mean, Mark, we're going to see a defenseman in Cale Makar tomorrow. Just watch this guy because he's the closest thing to Paul Coffey, and I hate to say it, Bobby Orr, that we've seen in the league. He's 23 years old, and he makes these end-to-end rushes like you've never seen. I mean, this is an unbelievably explosive team. Last year, they blew the Blues, you know, out of the series really quickly, four straight games. But keep in mind, this is not the same Blues team from last season.
What are we looking at with Krug and Scandella, in particular with injuries? Are they expected to be back?
Well, I asked Coach Berube about Scandella today after practice at about 12:30, and he said, you know, he was on the ice and he was moving okay, but he's not certain he's going to play. I get the impression he probably won't play tomorrow, and Krug definitely won't play tomorrow. But it gives them a chance to continue to play at the point. Young Perunovic, who has a lot of Krug in him. I mean, he's a former Hobie Baker Award winner who's incredibly skilled with the puck, too. And really a tiny little guy, but man, is he skilled for a defenseman.
So they blew out the Predators, and they win that series 4-0?
It wasn't even in question. It wasn't anything close about it. Yeah, it was embarrassing. In fact, Mark, let me give you the line of the year. This is by one of the Sutter brothers. It's one of the Sutter brothers. He said, playing the Colorado Avalanche in a playoff series is like wasting a week of your life. That's how dominating they've been.
Well, let's hope it doesn't turn in that way for the Blues.
But it won't.
You know, and that was not – that series of the Wild was looking certainly like it might be in jeopardy until – the third period of that game last week, and obviously they close it out, but this is going to be a tough series. There's been some great hockey. You know, I had, I think you know this because I haven't talked to you in 2 weeks, but I had COVID. I watched a lot of hockey, a lot of NBA when I was out last week.
Yeah, and Mark, the difference between the NBA and the NHL, the NBA had two horrendous game sevens yesterday, and the NHL had two overtime games. So NHL gets the edge on the NBA.
Absolutely,
weekend.
Yeah. Those were boring NBA Game 7s. There's no doubt about it. Unfortunately, the Bucks went down to the Celtics. Cusumano, we will talk on Friday, hopefully after the Blues are up a couple of games in this series.
That would be great. Thanks, Mark.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.